Hey everyone, happy holidays. I hope you all had an awesome Christmas celebration. Now, these days between Christmas and New Year's are my absolute favorite. It's that perfect time to kick back, reflect on the past year, check off goals we smashed, and think about what's next. You know, that cozy moment with a glass of wine, tea, or whatever floats your boat. Flipping through my journal in the evenings, that's my jam during this time. Speaking of next year, I'm thinking of dedicating the first episode to goal setting. I mean, why not start our kids early on that one, right? But today, I've got something else for you. I recently hung out with Jill Sutton on her show, Living Her Legacy. We dove deep into all things parenting, and I figured it'd be cool for you to get a peek into how we roll in my family. So let's mix it up and flip the script for a bit. Enjoy.
Good morning, Billy. Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today.
Hi, Jill. It's my pleasure.
I would love for you to start off introducing yourself, saying a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and what you're doing now.
I'm a mom of three girls, ages 9, 7, and 4. We live in Bulgaria, Eastern Europe. Currently, I'm a host of a parenting podcast called Unlock Your Child's Full Potential, where I aim to fill the gaps left by the school system and help moms around the world teach their kids the lessons that are going to prepare them for real life. Because I think as parents, we have a unique role of nurturing the potential of the special human beings entrusted to our care. And we can't expect school and the teachers to do everything. And we don't want the environment to decide who our kids become. So it's up to us to coach them how to be successful and fulfilled.
Yes. I love this because a lot of the people on my podcast, I ask them like if having kids changed their course, right? Like if having kids changed what they wanted to do in life, what they wanted to be in life. And obviously, you have kids and I don't know, did you have this passion before having kids, or did this really stem from after starting your family?
I've always had passion for personal development and reading books on the topic. So when I met my husband in our early 20s and we decided that we're going to have 4 children, we did everything to prepare for that. So I was reading parenting books before I had kids. And after that, I realized I need to have a vision, like what values I want to instill, what skills do I want my kids to have, and go from there, like start with the end in mind. But it
That's
definitely changed me once I had them. Like it's so much more complicated than I envisioned it.
Yes. Oh yeah. Well, and yeah, emotions are involved and you do want so much for your kids to succeed, right? I think that is like maybe not every mama's like biggest, like on the forefront of their mind, but most mamas are probably thinking like, how do I get these kids to be successful adults in the world, right? And navigate this ever-changing world, which is filled with a lot of negativity, right?
Yeah, how to shield them and yet prepare them, because where's the balance?
Yeah, you have to do both. Excellent. So tell me about your podcast.
I have guests on a variety of different topics because we look for what to teach our kids, but the same principle keeps popping up. So you need to have a trusting relationship with your kids in order to be able to give them guidance and for them to be able to listen to you. So I think this is where we need to start building that connection with our kids and how to do it. So right now I'm even in the process of creating my course on how to build that relationship. Because there are little practices that we can put into our daily schedule just to nurture that. And one of my favorite tools is the emotional bank account. You've probably heard of it, but maybe I can explain it just a little for the
Love it. Yeah.
listeners.
I would love to hear about it.
Relationships are like bank accounts. An emotional bank account is an account of trust instead of money. When your level of trust is high,
because you've made a lot of deposits, then communication with your kid is almost effortless. And then when you make mistakes, because you inevitably do, you withdraw on that reserve of trust, and the relationship still maintains a high level of trust. But if withdrawals outnumber deposits, then communication decreases, the trust goes down, and misbehavior arises. So our most important relationships, the ones with our loved ones, need constant investment in this emotional bank account. And I can give you some examples of deposits that I like to make with my own kids. Hugs, reading bedtime stories, going down on their eye level and listening to them, to the stories, their experiences during the day, being present and not distracted, playing games with them. And then withdrawals could be yelling, shaming them, or threatening. Every if and then statement is actually a threat. So if we use any of those, this is withdrawal, and we have to constantly be aware of what are we doing now? Am I making a deposit in the emotional bank account or a withdrawal? So we nurture that relationship.
I know that for me, parenting has been a lot of a personal journey and a personal development journey because my first daughter was born and she was perfect. I felt like I really didn't have to learn a lot as a parent. She was very obedient. You know, she was always, and she was very logical, like from the get-go. Like I felt like I could explain a situation and say, this is why we don't yell in public, right? And she'd be like, oh, okay, and get it. And she wouldn't yell. Along came daughter number two, who could care less about logic. And it doesn't matter because she's going to do it her way. And that has been something that I know for myself, I'm having to learn a lot about these statements, right? Because that's kind of a, like the gut reaction is, how can I convince them to behave, right? And I think a lot of it stems back to just coping skills that we had as a kid or insecurities we had as a kid, right?
I do believe that. Yes. It's how we were raised. So that's our default, where we go every time we are stressed, when we are not intentional on how we are responding to the stressors. So, yeah, I go there too. But, and that's the mistakes I mentioned. So you will do them, but then go back and apologize. Something my parents never did, by the way. And I have a great relationship with my parents, but in that time, it was not a practice to apologize for your mistakes. And this is something I'm very intentional about right now with my girls. So, yeah, I do believe that we have to reparent ourselves while we parent our kids.
And I do want to say, I feel like we are in living in such a cool time because so many parents now are wanting to learn how to be a better parent. You know, I agree with you. I feel like when we were raised, there wasn't this drive or this education or the psychology behind what you were doing. It was like, just get through it, right? It was kind of like, we just, that's all we know. And now I feel like we're in this time where people do want to learn about the different types of parenting, different ways to parent your child, different ways kids respond to types of parenting, right? And just kind of tailoring that to each child. And I think the biggest thing is like just what you said, depositing love. Like that's the biggest thing.
Yeah. And some other little practices like taking the time to answer their questions. It could be so overwhelming if you have more than one kid, all the questions coming your way. But yeah, do what you could just to answer as much as you can. If they're asking a question, they're probably ready to hear the answer. So don't be afraid to be honest and letting them know. And treat them with respect, I think, not to expect them to be obedient, like you said, just to explain the why behind your request. I want you to do that and that because this will be beneficial to you, or there will be negative consequences if you don't. But kids need to hear that. Because once they grow up, we want them to make their own decisions, right? Not follow blindly.
Yes, that is the main goal. And I think what's funny is, you know, in this process of parenting my two girls, I'm actually more, I guess, nervous about or anxious about my oldest, who's a very obedient, because I feel like, does she have a strong enough voice on her own? You know what I mean? I know my second child is fine. Like if something comes up that she's not supposed to be doing, she's going to say, I'm not supposed to do that. And it's interesting how she's the hardest one for me to parent, but I feel more confident in her capabilities than I do in my eldest.
How old are they?
5 and 3.
Oh, so you still have to see what's coming.
Oh, yes. Yes. We've got
and
a long way to go.
My idea with this building of a trusting relationship is actually to prepare ourselves for the teen years. Because so many parents are anxiously anticipating these years. They think that they wouldn't know what their kid is going through because they won't share. I think that we can prevent that if we build the foundation first. In those years, 5, 6, 7, until 12, 13 years, when they get emotional and other stuff comes up, like hormones, and it gets complicated. We can prepare for that moment.
Yeah, I think just like you said, too, the more we deposit, the more it keeps those communication lines open. And one thing I've noticed, obviously, is one of the biggest things I've tried to change in myself is if they do something wrong, how I respond to it. Let's say they knock all the Legos off the table. And I'm like, ah, what a mess, you know, and I make this big reaction, they're going to feel shameful, right? Or feel like, oh, I did something wrong. I disappointed mom. Yeah, scared. All of those feelings. And then that kind of internalizes as like, I need to hide that stuff, right? Whereas if I say, hey, they're just Legos, it's okay. Let's clean them up together. You know, that builds on their trust, right? And then in the future, when bigger things happen, they still feel comfortable coming to me as their parent. And that's something that I am really cognizant of. And I'm really trying to work on my reactions because I do want to keep that communication open. I do want to be the one they go to. I don't want them going to, you know, their friend down the street or whoever, you know, I want them to come to me. So I do think it's super important, just like you said, to kind of build that foundation and deposit into their bank of trust.
Yes. And I still have to work on that too. I remember a few years ago, one of my kids was spilling her glass of water all the time, like every day, a few times. And I don't know why. I mean, I know it's not something big, but I reacted for an instant, but she could see it. And it's something that haunts me to this day. Like, why do you overreact to stuff like that? But again, that's our default. So it's a process and we don't need to be so harsh on ourselves because as moms, we listen to podcasts, we read books, we know how it should look like, but so often it doesn't. And if we could give ourselves a soft landing, it could be better because you can start again and be better next time.
One of the things that I try to also think about in that situation is what I've learned is, yes, kids are going to see things, a fight with your spouse or something like that, and they're going to see it. But the biggest thing is that not only that they see that, but that they see you repair from that. And you mentioned it earlier, apologizing to your kids. And I think that goes a long way. Let's speak on that a little bit, just about how important it is to kind of finish the circle, right? It might be an argument, but then having that time to apologize and come back around and seeing the healing in that too.
I believe that the relationship could get stronger after a rupture and repair, even more so than if there was no rupture in the first place. And what I try to do is do a next step. After I apologize, I try to do something nice for my girl. If I know that she likes to be touched, I'm going to hug her and make her feel better. Or my middle daughter really likes to spend some quality time with me. So I'll just go and play with her for 10 to 15 minutes. Just making the time to make a gesture, not just apologize, because sometimes that's not enough.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Let's get into a little bit because this is something that I think about also is, my kids are just getting into school age. So they've been in daycare and they have had other providers teaching them. But my daughter's in kindergarten and obviously school is probably a little bit different where you're at in Bulgaria, but you mentioned something about not leaving it up to the schools. Like we want to fill in the gaps, right, as parents. And
Right.
I think there's been a big push for a lot of people wanting to do homeschooling because they feel like they have a little bit more control over what they're learning, but also the emotional part of it and the really just the life skills that they might be learning a little bit more in a homeschool environment. But this isn't really necessarily about homeschool or public school. This is like what we can do as parents to kind of fill in between in the meantime, right?
Right. Yeah, I do believe that the life skills is what we need to teach them, parents. Academically, I think that they're going to be all right. They have their social circle at school. This is why I like my kids to go to school and not be necessarily homeschooled. And I don't think I have the capacity to homeschool my three kids. But the life skills, there are little things that I try to teach them, like journaling or having a morning ritual. Or trying to name and accept your feelings. Little stuff that I encountered along the way in the personal development path that I want to give my kids early on. Maybe they wouldn't do all of them, but they will have them in their toolbox. So whenever they need it, they'll know, oh, I need to read more about that. I can try that. So they are prepared more than we were, because I think. I could have been ahead if I knew some of the things I know
Yeah, you mentioned things that I'm actually working on putting into my practice,
now.
like journaling and having a morning kind of like a mantra. I think that's super important. And how cool for our kids to be learning that now instead of, in your 20s, 30s, 40s, I want to kind of talk about just being a mom and also kind of feeling like, we kind of talked about how like we're working on so many things. We want to learn so many things to teach to our kids, but at the same time, we don't want to like burn ourselves out either. Like how can we, obviously, I think you making this course is going to be fantastic because it'd just be an easy way for someone to learn the tools, the tips, the tricks to impart with their children, right?
Yes,
I'm
that's
just
the
trying to think
intention.
of, yeah, what's a good, like, I don't know. I'm trying to think about how being a parent, like we just try to do a lot, right? We try to do it all.
Yes, maintaining the household. Working, taking care of the kids, it's a lot. One of the things I do is just waking up a little earlier, like maybe 30 minutes before the kids, so I can start my day meeting my needs first. Like I mentioned, journaling, maybe meditation, maybe a little exercise, whatever it is for you. Just doing something for yourself first before they come in screaming in the room and wanting all the attention for themselves. So this is a little practice. And also during the day, whenever you feel you need to go in the other room, take some deep breaths and remind yourself what's important in that moment. Not a lot of things are important, and I think the connection with our kids is one of the important ones. You know, life goes by so quickly. And, I read some statistics that 90% of the time we spend with our kids is before they turn 18. So once they're 18, it's over. So enjoy that time.
And actually, you can use that as like a learning tool too. Like I have gotten to where I'm like, okay, I'm a little bit frustrated. I'm gonna go into the other room for 1 minute and I'll be right back. But I just need to like calm myself down and like get a hold of my emotions again. And they're usually like, what? Like, they're kind of like, what? Okay, mom. And sometimes it's because, they're being crazy, right? They might be screaming or whatever. And I'm just like, I just need a minute. And that change just even like changes them, like to where they're like, oh, she's having to remove herself, but in a healthy way, right? It's a
I
good
agree.
thing.
Yeah. And you're showing them self-care. So they know if they need it, they can do it too.
Yes. Yeah. Self-care is talked about so much. And I feel like people always think self-care as like, I'm going to take a bubble bath or I'm going to get my nails done. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like it's always like that, but it's not necessarily always like that. Like, I think like doing your mantra, having your morning moments to yourself, like, I feel like that is a lot of times self-care.
Yeah, I think that you have to do it regularly and not after you burn out and you need a lot of things to just get you back to normal. So if you do it regularly, you're keeping yourself in sane mode.
Yes, yes.
And I think it influences the way you raise your kids. If you're good, if you feel good, if you're not stressed, then you're better equipped to meet their needs.
Yeah, and I think too, just again, you know, I've talked about like meditation on my podcast before and how it's hard for me. Like, usually I have like a focused intention. I can't have like a completely clear my mind type of meditation, but I do feel like just giving myself that time to sit silently with either my thoughts or, like I said, a focus gives me a little bit of a pause before I respond to my kids. I think it, like you said, it kind of keeps you in that sane mode. It keeps you like, okay, this isn't as big of a deal as I thought, or, you know, I don't have to overreact to this, or even just like, let me take a breath and then I'm going to respond, you know, but like you kind of give yourself that pause. I think having some of that mental clarity like really does help throughout the day.
Yes. And I also love affirmations. I have a whole list of them, and some of them are connected to my kids and my relationship to my kids. So if I read this every morning, I remind myself to be mindful when a situation occurs and I'm okay. What's my intention here? Like to teach, to love, to support, or to follow what I need to do. Sometimes you need to respect your own boundaries. So just reminding yourself to think about your intention.
I feel like there's so many good takeaways from this already. Like, I think definitely having your own time, filling up your cup first is a huge thing. Having that space to respond. And then I loved your follow-up to the cycle. Like, if you have a disagreement or what did you call it? You said it's something in a repair.
Yeah, repair. Just do something nice for your kids. I try to be mindful of what their love language is. Like, what do they enjoy? So to each kid, what they love. So they really feel that you are sorry and that you would handle it better next time.
I think that can even be a good first step for parents, is just finding out what your child's love language is. What is it that they want? I know you're in the process of creating this course. What is your vision for your podcast and your business?
For the podcast, I just want to reach as many moms as possible, because I think we all need that support, that connection with other moms. Parenting is so hard. Like, we don't know what to do. I mean, there are all types of situations. And if I'm able to just give some tools and practices that when you hear, and then there's a situation that's similar to what you've heard, then you can just take that from your toolbox and use it. This is my intention, having as many parents, experts, educators, you name it, to be there and talk to the moms. All of us have the same problems. We just feel alone sometimes. And I would love to build that community for support.
I agree. I feel like that is a common theme between your podcast and mine, is just really giving mamas that support and encouragement that they can do it and they're not alone. And I think the biggest theme that, again, is kind of be kind of maybe my focus for this new year, is the focus of just, you are enough, you know, you are enough. And I feel like so many mamas just think, I'm not enough. I can't do it. You know, we even kind of talked a little bit before this, where we have some of these fears that still hold us back from so many things. And it's mostly is that imposter syndrome, feeling like, who am I? But I do think you know, the underlying theme between Unlock Your Child's Full Potential and the Living Her Legacy podcast is to really get mamas together and feel supported.
Yes, exactly. You know, one of my biggest fears is like, I know that the best teaching tool is modeling the behavior I want in my kids. What if I'm not what I want to model, right? And my kids have the same struggles as I do. And this is my biggest motivator to be a better version of myself every day. So I think that's the way parenting changes us, because we might not be inspired enough to do it for ourselves, but for our kids, that's a different story.
Yeah, we do anything, right?
Yeah.
And I've also heard too the phrase, when we're trying to work on self-improvement, personal development, things like that, it can be overwhelming, right? It can be like, oh, where do I even start? But one of the phrases that really helps me is just getting 1% better. I'm trying to think who started that. It's been used multiple times by a lot of different speakers, but just getting that 1% better every day, like just trying one little thing, one little change in your routine to help yourself.
Yes, I love that.
Well, I want to thank you so much, Billy, for coming on today and sharing. Again, this is something that I feel like is such near and dear to a lot of parents and mama's hearts, just wanting the best for their child and being the best for their child, right?
Right. Thank you for having me.